Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the latest video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League game week 29. My name is Joe and today we'll be looking to see how the pundits and elite managers in the Great and the Good League at Fantasy Football Scout are getting on. And joining me is Greyhead, who compiles this table. Greyhead, welcome. How are you?
Very well indeed. Looking forward to the blank.
Excellent. Yes, it's a blank game week, so we're going to see how this group of managers are faring during this week. Also, we will sort of, so the template will be a little bit up in the air this week because many will be free hitting. So we'll sort of be looking at two templates. One, how they might be set up for the free hit or if they are using transfers to get to that type of team, and also how they're going to be afterwards. Just first of all, just to say who this group of managers we're looking at is. It's very familiar names to those in the FPL community. Ali last year, who won it. FPL Black Boxes, Mark and Az, myself. Seb and Andy from the Scoutcast. Zofa from FPL Wire and many more. Shall we have a look at... I was going to say have a look at the fixtures, but I'm not going to put the fixtures up. Just have those in their heads. So I think a lot of people will be familiar with those fixtures. Just a reminder, it's just a few teams playing. Nottingham Forest, Fulham, Brentford, Burnley, Tottenham, West Ham, Aston Villa and Luton. So many teams blanking. So it's quite a tricky week to predict, but in terms of how they're going to do. But I suspect many of the teams are going to be quite similar. But anyway, let's have a look at the table so far. What's been the theme of game week 28?
Game week 28 was it was a game of two halves, very much like the Bournemouth Luton game in midweek. So but overall, Tom Freeman was a star. He did really well. He got 92 this week, so that was a cracking performance from him. He did take a hit, but he brought in. He had a double strike force of Bournemouth players, so we obviously had Solanke, but the Semeno as well, and he was the only one to have him, so that came really good for Tom. So excellent stuff.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I noticed he got a rank boost of 100, nearly 180,000, so his overall ranking is 119,000. The last time I did a show with him, he was about 300,000, so that's absolutely huge. FPL Guns, Ali, who won it last year. Where he is in the rankings, it was actually a pretty good green arrow for him. He got 64 points, took a minus 8, Captain Morris. So everything on paper went wrong. But he, in fact, got quite a nice rank boost as well of a couple of hundred thousands. Just because of where he is in the rankings, he's just outside top million. He's the only one as well. So a lot of these managers, they're doing really well, aren't they? So they're all in the top. So top 10,000, top 20,000, top 100,000. I think yeah, you have to go all the way down to Tom on this list. And he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th. He's about 13th out of 18. So we've got about 12 or 13 managers all in top 100K. So that's pretty good.
they've all performed really, especially over the last I'd say kind of 6 to 8 weeks. There's been a real kind of like surge up the rankings. Definitely performing much better than last season. Yep. I think this season feels a bit more normal, dare I say, in terms, and also it kind of like suits those people being able to kind of plan a bit better as well. But no, strong performances all around. Like I say, Tom was the top one. Very good differential picks, and that's, as you said, it's really shot him up, because he was outside the 300,000 mark a couple of weeks ago, but he'd brought people in like Barkley, Ollie Barkley as well, and Ben White's there, who's turned into a bit of an assist machine. So he's done really well indeed. Mm-hmm. Other things this week, Andy North's FPL mode from mm-hmm. Scoutcast.
Yeah.
He played his much criticized sometimes, mm-hmm. a wild card. So he had a fairly good boost off the back of that as well. And we even had a couple of triple captain chips played as well. So we had Marco and also John Ballantyne played it.
Okay, well, we'll have a look at the transfers, because this might tell us. I mean, I think a lot of this group are going to be free hitting. But there's a real divide with the transfers in game week 28, which might give us a clue into what they're doing in game week 29 and 30. If you went for Luton players, it's very possible you have the option of not free hitting, because Luton play in game week 29 and you can carry them through into game week 30, perhaps on the bench or even play them in Alfie Doughty's case. But if you went for Bournemouth players, it's very like you were free hitting. They're not playing in 29, so they're a wasted player in 29. Obviously great in 28 because they played twice. And of course they do well from game week 30 onwards. So you might actually be thinking, oh, I'm not gonna wildcard them, if you've still got that as well. So yeah, we've got that divide there. So looking down the list here, I guess one of the big things is it's not just those that went Bournemouth and Luton in that divide with free hitters, it's which Bournemouth they went to. And there was one of the big stories this week, wasn't there, around the Bournemouth defender choice.
Yes, absolutely. So I think Cabani scored his first goal. I think someone quipped it's first goal he scored since he played for the Ukrainian under-17s or something way back. So, but what a great time for him to score as well. But yeah, there was a kind of a stark choice between him or Kirkes, who looked a bit better, but obviously he went off in that disastrous Saturday as well. So it was a kind of tale of two Bournemouth defenders, and who would have thought we'd been thinking about that at this time?
Yeah, so we've got a few players, Az and Mark from FPL Black Box. They both went for Kirkes, so they wouldn't have been happy with that. Kirkes dropped for the second game, scored nothing the first game. And then many, myself included, got Zabani. I did not expect, as many people were saying, the goal from Zabani. When it came up on Twitter, I think it was, I saw, you know, that he'd scored. I'm just like, I mean, that's a win the lottery move, because as you said, he's not known for his goal scoring. I was on videos during the week, looking at the expected goal involvement, I think his was something like a expected goal involvement every 3,500 minutes. I can't even count that up.
Yeah.
Basically, It's absolute win the lottery move.
Yeah, absolutely. He was never going to score, but then he scored. So, but it's a kind of classic double game week, yeah, which is why we all love them so much.
Okay, right. Rightio. So let's have a look to see how the template is looking after that. So we'll come to what the free hit template for game 29, which is what, you know, I guess what a lot of people will be watching this for, you know, looking to see what's happening in 29. Yeah. But this is looking at the template now. So this is what people are either going into game week 29 with, or they're looking to sort of re-emerge in game week 30. So do you want to just go through this and see what the sort of notable changes are?
Yeah, no, I mean, as you kind of would expect, I mean, the notable change this week was that obviously the Bournemouth players came in. So Neto and Zabani, as we mentioned before, they kind of came into the template, just people praying for the double. But no, I mean, and like I say, there's going to be a split now in terms of whether or not people are going to kind of free hit or whether or not they're going to try and work their way through it. I think what's happened over recent weeks, it's been fascinating to see, is there's been a real tide change, because I think when we spoke about it maybe a few weeks back, we were kind of saying people are going to try and navigate their way around it. But as more kind of injuries and things have happened along the way, so, you know, Richarlison, that sort of thing, it's just I think more and more this group are actually going to free hit. So I think actually the majority will be there. I can only really see the likes of Zoffa and maybe Seb, who are kind of trying to, I'm fairly confident, will try and navigate their way around it. So they'll be looking to make kind of small tweaks to their team and obviously bring in maybe kind of a Villa player, Spurs player, something like that.
Okay, so just to go through this list for those listening on the podcast version, we've got Neto in goal as the most popular as of 28. He's got 50% ownership, but Areola there with 2/3 ownership. So Areola will be the main one to come in there. Gabriel, 94% ownership amongst this group of managers. There's 18 managers in this list. Doughty with two thirds of teams. So Barnier's in just over half. Then also on the bench and defenders, Porro. So he's come in, gives you the option of not free hitting. He's in getting on for 40% of teams. Saliba is in just over a quarter of teams. Meanwhile, in the midfield, we've got Saka pretty much in all teams, 94% teams. Son pretty much in all teams, just getting on for 9 out of 10 teams there. Palmer, similar, 83%. He'll probably go up. Foden, 83%. He could go down. Watkins, 100% of teams, but does have possibly an injury and may not play in 29, but is a safe player now on. But Villa's, we'll come to Villa's fixtures in a sec. Solanke in pretty much all the teams, 94%. And Haaland just in 2/3. So some people would have moved him on for Morris, perhaps. Meanwhile, also to mention is Garnacho is in just over a quarter teams. And he's going to be an important player, I think. So how do you think this template's going to change? I'll give my views in a sec.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there, just to kind of pick up on, you know, longer term, Garnacho is going to be an important player because especially when we start to prepare for kind of doubles further on line in terms of game week, 34, because he's quite a good, cheap enabler. Very funny you mentioned Haaland there. He was actually the most popular transfer out this week, so kind of shows the kind of like how people did get affected by the double and the blank piece as well. But yeah, no, I think going forward, I think we'll probably see the likes of Tony probably come in. I'd imagine he'll be a popular pick, even if you're free hitting or not free hitting. I think he's one of the ones that looks one of the best bets this week. And then I think in midfield, I think you'll see the likes of Jared Bowen and also Madison will join Son in those ranks as well. So I think those will be the kind of the key picks. And then I think it's a bit of a lottery. I think in defence, that's going to be the most difficult bit in terms of whether or not you're free hitting or not, who to go for in defence, because I can't see many clean sheets.
So, I mean, how I think this is going to change in game week 30, because game week 30, so those without Haaland are gonna risk it without him in game week 30 against Arsenal. So that's probably fair enough. But they're going to want to get him back in game week 31 against Aston Villa. So immediately, those without Haaland, the 2/3 of these managers without Haaland, are thinking game week 31, I've got to get Haaland up. They're also looking at the fixtures in game week 30 and going, oh my Lord, Liverpool at home to Brighton. Oh my Lord, Chelsea are at home to Burnley. Oh my Lord, Tottenham are home to Luton. So anyone without Son, Palmer, which is most of them so far, but more importantly, Salah. So they're going to want to keep Son. They're going to want Palmer. They're going to want to keep Saka because Arsenal play Luton in game week 31, then Brighton, then Aston Villa. So Foden's going to make way, I think. And I know he is for me. And I've already got the money in the bank to do Foden to Salah, and I'll probably captain Salah. And I think a number of this group will think of doing that as well. So they're going to go game week 30, got to get Salah. Game week 31, got to get Haaland. And wildcards could be used 30, 31 in order to achieve those moves, I think.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So I think there's going to be a split there in terms of whether or not they wild card 30-31 to bring in those heavy hitters, as you rightly said, or whether or not they hold off and try and get their way to 34. Obviously, with the fact that there's going to be the double there, and you're going to want to stock up probably what it looks like is going to be Man United, Newcastle type players, and then your wild card later on. But now there's an awful, just going back to FPL modes. Wildcard, he's almost like left 13 odd million in the bank to do exactly as you said.
Yeah.
So he's going to look to bring Salah in 30, then Haaland in 31, and he's already got that mapped out, which is great if all things stay equal. But we all know injuries, everything could go wrong along the way as well. But I think they will be they'll be the popular moves as we go into the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, when I looked at Andy's wildcard last week, I actually praised it because it was quite well set up for 28 and 29. And as you said, he's messed all that money in the bank. So the moves I've just talked about, he's already got the money to do that as well. And you mentioned Garnacho as well. If Manchester United get a double in 34, he will be very popular. I suspect he will be in at least 90% of these teams. But also Newcastle assets. And in Newcastle, I've got West Ham at home, then Everton at home, Fulham away, then Tottenham at home. It's a good run of fixtures. I'm also, for me, game week 31, I'm thinking of Watkins to Isak. Watkins has a tough fixture against City. Isak, I think, is good, and he could double as well. He's clearly the main man. Wilson's out.
Yeah, that's going to be a really big decision. So you've mentioned two players there, Foden and Watkins. That's going to be the call. Which one of those do you have to sacrifice to get those heavy hitters? Because you can't afford it any other way unless you, you know, Mark Sovens, who's got, I know, 107 million or whatever is in the bank. Yeah. But even so, you have to sacrifice one of those two players, and so that's going to be really key. So we'll have to see, obviously, how the Watkins injury is. In a way, it may spoil it a bit, because it may stop people making that decision if it ends up being more serious, which I don't think it will be, by the way. I think he'll be fine.
I think he's just got a cut on his leg. It all depends on whether, obviously, you don't want that wound opening up again. So it doesn't sound like it's long-term. It'll probably just be, if he's out at all, it'll be this weekend, but he might not be. We'll have some team news later today. So we're recording this on Friday, so it should go out on Friday about lunchtime. Okay, let's have a look at the free hit template. So all of these managers will either be doing this or they'll be working towards this, because there's only eight teams. So there's a limited pool, and within those teams, there's only limited players to get, really. So it sort of writes itself. Do you want to go through this? I've got. Hopefully, you've got in your notes there the free hit team. This is something Tom put up on a goals imminent video earlier in the week, also a team reveal video earlier in the week. But do you want to run through this as a sort of a typical free hit team?
Yeah, and I think it's a fairly solid template, so I don't think we're going to see much variation from this. So he's obviously got Flecken in goal, and then Areola on the bench. Pedro Porro, Doty and Reguilon on in the defence, with Soufal and Konsa on the bench. And then you've got midfield. I think there's three picks in here which are going to be fairly locked into most people's teams. So it's going to be Bowen, Maddison and Son, fairly solid. He's gone for Douglas Luiz, interestingly, his Villa defender there. And then Elanga on the bench as well. Yeah. But I think that's going to be that kind of that spot there is going to be one that's open to debate. They can look at Bailey, for example, as well. And then, in terms of the front line, the template front line is Tony, Morris and Watkins there. Yeah. So, again, I think that will be fairly solid. There may be some debate there around that that Morris spot, you know, whether or not you gamble on the Fulham striker, Muniz or someone like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think, so as I said, whether free-hitting or not, this is the sort of team working towards. Most of those slots are sort of locked in. I think most will on a free hit will play Watkins and make sure they've got a good sub, because Watkins will either play or he won't play. He's not going to just, if he's got a gash on his leg and it's going to keep him out, then he won't play at all. He's not going to come on for 20 minutes or something like that. So he's either in or he's out, I think.
I think the good thing is, like you say, it's quite slim picking in terms of who's around, and there's lots of budget around, so you can pretty much afford to do that and still have a good backup on that piece as well.
I was going to say, but Handley, you mentioned, Tom has got Douglas Luiz in here, he's on penalties for Villa, but there are other players. There's Bailey as well, much more attacking player for Villa. There's Elanga, who's actually on this bench here. There's Gibbs White, who's on penalties and set pieces at Nottingham Forest, who faces Luton. There's also Kudos as well, who scored an absolute wonder goal in Europe this week. So he could be in the mix as well. So there's a lot of choice in midfield, and it comes as quite handy. So for the free hitters, I think we're going to play Watkins. and their first one, in this case, on this team here, it's got Alanga. In my case, I'm umming and it might be Bailey for me on my bench, and I think I might be playing Gibbs White. I'm just going to go for that penalty taker there. But also, I think Reguilón should play, but that first defender on the bench may be needed. But I think it really is only that one midfield slot that will come into its element here.
Yeah, I think it's that one midfielder slot, or whether or not you kind of like you sacrifice one of your strikers. So I think some might go to 3-5-2, like you say, you could do a different combination of, you know, your Bailey, your Lewis, and your Morris as well. But I think I think we are going to see a lot of the same teams this week. So I guarantee amongst even this population mansion, we'll see people with exactly the same scores and exactly the same teams. But yeah, so there's a limited chance of kind of variation around that piece as well. But I think it's going to be the Forest-Luton game is going to be interesting, because I think Rob Edwards made some comment about Luton trying to tighten up. I just don't know how they can tighten up. Basically, with all the another injury I think they've got in their team as well. So this week is... Yeah, there's got to be plenty of goals around, and that's why defence is more about picking people you think are going to be good from set pieces more than.
Yeah, I mean it's a classic six pointer as well. Both facing relegation, both good teams, and both arguably should stay up, but could also face relegation. So it would be, I think these are teams that most FPL managers, certainly neutrals, quite welcome. You know, as opposed to Burnley, Sheffield United, they can just go. as far as we can say, we're not interested in their assets, really. But Luton and Nottingham Forest do get a bit of interest. They've got a bit of attacking guile. So this group of managers will go for them.
Yeah, I mean, on the Burnley side, like there, I mean, that's a big game for them against Brentford. And Brentford, again, have got a lot of injuries in defence. So I think it's Fofana. I think he might be worth a punt if you do want to kind of gamble there as well. So, yeah, like I say, it's going to be two spots, basically. Yeah. You're going to kind of have a bit of a gamble on this week.
Let's have a look at another table as well. Just a couple of things I've left off. Captain is Son for this one. That's going to be pretty much 100% of this elite group are going to do that. Yep. I can guarantee that. Also, just a reminder, do press that like button if you like our content, and also do subscribe so you can keep up to date with our latest videos and podcasts, and check out Fantasy Football Scout for members offers as well to help you climb up your mini leagues. Okay, I've got one more table that you've compiled. It says targeting transfers. So what is this about?
it's just something I look at every now and again, really, just to work out where these managers are actually focusing their transfers. Just to understand, are they spending them in defence, in midfield, and attack, and so forth? And it kind of just kind of gives you a guide as into where we should be thinking about kind of like really focusing all those moves in order to get the advantage. Normally, over previous seasons, we've seen it more shift towards your kind of forwards and your midfielders. That tends to be where you make your changes and try and keep your defence fairly solid. But I think interestingly this year there's been more tinkering in that defensive spot as well. So it's been defence and midfield, really. I think a lot of that is because of Haaland. You know, you don't need to change him. I mean, there's been injury, but apart from that, Watkins has come to the fore this year as well, so that's been fairly solid. So there's been more tinkering in that defensive place. I mean, Fabio and Jan, for example, have done more in that space.
Okay, yeah, I mean, looking at that here, so Jan, 42% of his transfers, 43% even, for defenders. So for me, 32%, which is still pretty high, really, getting on for a third. And it's only Zofa, really. And I've heard him talk about this on FPL Wire, actually, about that he likes to focus his transfers on the attacking players with most points. And he's doing well this season. And he doesn't want to waste with defenders. And I think he's had Kabore, maybe even Porro, for months and months, because and that's his ethos. So we've come around and they're popular players again. Well, Kabore was for the double game week, but you know, they're both playing this week. So yeah, and midfield, that's where it's at. But so looking at Zofa there, 53%, absolutely huge. Meanwhile, most of us here, around a third of our jobs. So maybe we should be following Zofa's lead. You know, even though, you know, he's sort of mid-table, we should be following his lead, perhaps. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but then, like I said, and that's one of the reasons just pull the data, because it's quite a legitimate tactic. It makes sense. Why waste your energies in defence when actually the main points are going to be in that midfield spot? Yeah. But like I said, I think this season it's been more that there's been kind of well-established picks in that midfield attack, which means there's been less tinkering. And this is an interesting point, because, again, there's been players like your Gordon, your Palmers, who have kind of been solid picks for quite a while and gained value. So I don't know, I was going to ask you, in terms of when players do kind of go up in price, does that put you off kind of maybe taking them out? Because obviously...
when they go down in price?
Yeah.
No, I go with whether they're... Sometimes it makes me... I enjoy it, because I own that player that is really good, and then I see them go down in price. Like, if I see Haaland go down in price and I've still got him, well, I'm pretty happy, because that means his ownership's gone down. Yeah. But yes, obviously, if it's a player that I'm thinking of getting rid of and then their price goes down, then that's a problem. So you can see here with, I mean, it's interesting. So you mentioned about Mark having a lot of money. He's the money bags of this group, Mark Southern's FPL Black Box. He obviously, defenders, there's been a lot of fluctuation. He is, you know, nearly 30, just over 38%. Of his transfers have been defenders, about a third midfield, so that's on par, but only 16% for forwards. So he's kept hold of them, and that shows that there's been a lot of forwards that have been scoring, and he's sort of kept hold of them through any price changes, even though, you know, he likes to follow the money. But 16% is pretty low. I mean, I've a quarter of my transfers have been forwards, so I've been chopping and changing there, but he's kept hold of them. So, for example, if he gets like Darwin Nunes in, he's more likely to keep him, sort of upside players, and ignore whether they go up or down or not. But yeah, it is interesting to see, because we should all be following Zofa's lead.
Yeah.
But we're not. But also, Zofa's not winning this by miles, so perhaps we shouldn't be. But on paper, he's got the right strategy, I think.
Yeah. Well, you share the two classic things. As in, think about your strategy. As in, the kind of the general principle should be exactly as Zofa is going towards. But the second classic point is you have to basically kind of vary your approach according to the season. And like I say, this season has been some fairly solid, stable picks in both midfield and attack, which means that you've limited your options to kind of transfers. Therefore, defence has been more popular.
Definitely. Excellent. Well, thanks so much for your time. We'll be back again, maybe not next week, because it's the international break, but we'll sort something out. We'll obviously be back again to see how Game Week 30 is setting up. I think we probably hopefully done some safe predictions there, but obviously international injuries and stuff could change that as well. Yeah. So I hope that's given everyone some food for thought as they prepare for Game Week 29, particularly that free hit team. Whether you're free hitting or not, that's the sort of team that this group of managers are going to be going for. So this is what you're up against. You want to sort of either do better at or at least match. So thanks a lot for your time. Good luck in Game Week 29. See you soon.